great to be with you for the Coca-Cola Cooldown, our championship edition after game one here at John Cain Arena. Just a few moments ago, we saw Melbourne United put the hammer down on Tasmania, 104-81. I'm Jack Heverin, alongside my running buddy, Derek Rucker. That's a big-time statement in game one, Ruck.
It was, and I said at the end of the game in the broadcast that it was the victory Melbourne United fans and the team have been looking for, a convincing runaway victory in the fourth quarter where they win it by 23. We saw them struggle through the Illawarra series. I think this type of victory will release a lot of pressure and allow them to go down to Tasmania with a better idea of what it takes to win basketball games at this level. This team collectively has not done it. Even though Melbourne United won a championship just 2-3 years ago, this group of guys together have not.
Interesting, you said it late in the broadcast that Melbourne have probably been looking for a win like this for maybe a couple of months. It's a hell of a time to come up with arguably one of their best performances since Christmas.
It is, and we mentioned the fact that sometimes a previous playoff series, while it's a struggle, can actually benefit you, provide that you advance, and we saw that right here. Illawarra pushed these guys and got them ready for this series. And, you know, Tasmania just could not go. They didn't look as sharp as Melbourne United. Now, granted, Tasmania have been on the road for a while. Now they get a chance to regroup and go back. But Melbourne United clearly stamped their authority early in this series. It was a game they had to have. They needed to get this game on their home court. Now they can go to Tasmania. They're playing with a little bit of house money now. They can try and steal game two. If they do that, they're clearly in the driver's seat.
Tell us about the second quarter, because there wasn't much between them at quarter time. Second quarter, Melbourne won it 25-17, and that kind of felt like it was where the gap really started.
It was, and about midway through that quarter, it was 36-36. Tasmania had gone on a quick burst, a 4-0 run to tie it up. From that point on, Melbourne United put 12 straight points on the board. Now, that was on the back of some good defense, but I also thought that Tasmania got a bit reckless with the basketball. Their decision-making was poor. They tried to push early offensive opportunities when that's not how they play, and they paid the price for it. That 12-0 stretch was a lead that they never rebounded from, Jack, and ultimately led to their demise.
That's a really nice segue. We had that on the sheet to talk about, and that is the pace of the game and the tempo of the game. Now, we harp on about this a lot, so forgive us, Jack Jumpers fans, for talking about it so much, but it's meticulous. It's at a pace that they like. Today, was the game at their tempo and at their pace at any stage today?
I thought in the first quarter they were doing a good job of executing, moving the ball, moving bodies, and they were getting really good looks. Now, they weren't shooting it as effectively as they would have liked, but they put 24 points in the first quarter on the board. They score well because they're so efficient. And ironically, when they got a bit quick with their decisions, when they got a bit quick with their shots, that's when their scoring lost the proficiency. And then that second quarter, I believe, they were only able to score 17 points. They need to slow it down in game two, continue to move the ball, make Melbourne United guard.
Yeah.
Nobody likes playing defense, even the great defensive players. If you had to put a truth serum to them, they don't like playing defense. So force teams to defend, and they'll lose focus, and scoring opportunities will come easier.
From a Melbourne United point of view, they shot the ball at just under 50% from the three-point line. In any game, that's a big number. In game one of a championship series, Ruck, that's a crucial number for them.
And I like the fact that they realized they had it going, that they were sharp shooting the basketball in the first half. But they didn't get careless, Jack. They continued to have good shot selection. We've seen at times Melbourne United just blaze away. But I thought Chris Golding was really discerning with their shot selection. I think he hit 6 threes. And, you know, 28 is a good sweet spot for them in terms of three-point tips in a game. So full credit to them for playing intelligently and not getting carried away with the three-point shot, despite the success they were having with it.
While you're on a roll, keep talking about Chris Golding. As you say, 6 made threes. I don't know, he just had that look in the eye early that he wanted to play a big role in the first half. And when the game was up there to be won in that first half, he was part of breaking it wide open.
Well, I thought they allowed him to get comfortable early. He was able to separate from his defender. They just weren't up and into him enough. And that's how you need to defend Chris Golding if you're going to have any opportunity to slow him down. But once he made two, three threes, it was too late by then. His radar is locked in. And he has some of the best radar in NBL history. And then you saw in the second half, it was too much. He was hitting step backs and all types of shots. He had an outstanding game.
Let's get to the Jack Jumpers and try and break down what happened. Let's start with Jordan Crawford. So 7 points today, game three and game two of the semifinal series against Perth, just 3 and 2 points respectively. He's in a bit of a funk right now. Is that a fair thing to say?
It is. And I thought in the first quarter, he was getting good looks, Jack. I felt he was playing the right way. It was coming within the confines of the offense. Now, he wasn't having success at finishing. So I'm sure that upped his anxiety and he started to press in the second quarter. And we get it. Like, when you want to have an impact on a game, sometimes you think push, push, be more aggressive. But actually, it hurt the Jack Jumpers in the second quarter, and it really dislodged their offensive rhythm. And then, that, as we spoke about earlier, that's when Melbourne United were able to go on that 12-0 run.
So what do they do about that before Friday? What does Jordan Crawford do about that?
I think he's just got to get more discipline. I'm sure the coaching staff will talk to him and show him certain plays. Look, there are opportunities with his talent, with his quickness, with everything we've seen him do this season, there are going to be plenty of opportunities for him to impact the game. He just can't rush it, and he must stay within the confines of what the Jack Jumpers do and then pick and choose his times when to go outside of it and be individually brilliant.
The other is Will Magnay. Now, this is a pretty obvious statement, but foul trouble, and you could tell when he wasn't on the floor. In the semifinal series, he was plus 11, was such an enormous factor against the Perth Wildcats. When he's not out there, Ruck, it leaves a glaring hole for Tasmania.
It looks much different. And with Marcus Lee struggling, you know, he missed a game. That, like, I know it's only one game, but in the playoffs, that can be disruptive to your overall flow. Now we saw him sustain some type of shoulder situation. So who knows what's going to happen with Marcus Lee going forward. But Will Magnay now, we saw what type of level he can play to in the regular season. He must now transfer that to the postseason because this is when it matters most. This is when you earn your bucks. I'm sure he can go out there and do it, but we've got to see him deliver it, and it starts in game two.
So speaking of game two, does Will Magnay start again in game two, or does he go back to the bench?
Well, Andrew Gaze and I had this discussion during the broadcast, and I feel like they probably should go back with Lee in the starting lineup, provided that he's healthy. Put Magnay back in the role in which he thrived in. That's how you guys got through the season. Magnay played in 22 games this season, only started two, Jack.
Yeah.
So his primary success was coming off the bench. I'd go back to that as the blueprint.
Let's jump forward to what we can expect in game two on Friday night. We'll be in Tasmania, sold out MyState Bank Arena. So home court advantage definitely with the Jack Jumpers. Does today leave any scars on them?
I think they'll go back as a group, go to dinner, talk it out, and understand, you know what, a loss is a loss. We don't worry about the number. It doesn't really matter. We get the opportunity to turn it around quickly. Basketball players are great at being able to bounce back. Now, they've got 4 or 5 days where they can really get on the practice floor and in the video room and have a look at everything that went down. But I think once they realize that they went away from Jack Jumper basketball and their true authentic identity, once they realize how glaring that was, they'll realize it's a pretty easy fix, but one that requires discipline.
On the other side of the coin, Melbourne United now 1-0 up in the series. Such a huge advantage to be that way. What are their confidence levels like as they bounce into Tasmania on Friday?
Super high, but Dean Vickerman, I'm sure, will keep those guys in check. And they'll have to understand that the success that they achieved in game one was due to defense. And finally, I think we saw the Melbourne United that Dean Vickerman had been looking for over the final 6 weeks. I think they're really dangerous. Although the pressure was on them to get game one, they got it in a manner that was really convincing. And now a game two is a must-win for the Jack Jumpers at MyState Bank Arena.
And that is where we will be next. Friday night, MyState Bank Arena, sold-out crowd as the Jack Jumpers play host to Melbourne United in game two. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to think about between now and Friday, but Ruck, always nice to be alongside you.
Good to be here, Jack.
We'll see you on Friday. Thanks for being with us on the Coca-Cola Cooldown.